This Week in Nature is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for your free 30 days trial at audibletrial.com/TWIA for your free audiobook. Hey, welcome back to This Week in Asia, episode 113. And tonight we have Dr. Bernard Leong and Smitty in the studio. I'm Daniel Cervantes. And yeah, we've been absent for 2 weeks, actually, just for scheduling conflict and stuff like that. Yeah, but I managed to meet Smitty down in Singapore over the JFDI event. Smitty, how's it going, man?
I'm good. It was good to run into you. It was fun day, even though I didn't get to attend all the facilities, but it was nice to see you.
So how is Spool coming along? Anything new to update?
Spool is cruising. We submitted iOS apps to the App Store Friday night, late night, and we're just kind of going through that painful waiting for review phase that all companies who submit to the iOS App Store feel.
Mm-hmm.
And and then we're getting ready to just keep cruising. We're all going to that Ruby conference in like a week. Isn't it like 2 weeks? You guys know about that? The Red Ruby conference?
Yeah, yep.
Red
this week.
Huh?
Red Dot Ruby conference.
Yes. Obi Fernandez.
Obi
Fernandez will be in town, I know. This event is actually organized by... who's it organized? It's not organized by Jason anymore, right?
Andy Kroll, Mr. Impulse Flyer.
Oh, yes, Mr. Andy Kroll himself. Hey, we need...
Yes.
Okay. I think I have to skip that. Yeah, if you... I actually mentioned offline that there's a lot of stuff happening over for the upcoming TEDxKL, so can't really do much stuff. But that's a bigger news, I think, Bernard.
Hmm? So, oh yeah, you were there, right?
Yeah. So in case those listeners who do not know, Bernard, I think you should actually announce your news.
Well, my company Chalkboard has officially shut down. So we're in the closing down process. You were in the party, right? I think 2 weeks ago.
Yes, that was.
Well, I wasn't in town, or I would have come because I actually thought it was a party or funeral.
Yeah, we've sort of done that. But I guess you're not going to get anything off me about what happened, why, and et cetera. I'll leave that a couple of months later once we shut down gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the time being, we are just actually still doing all the shutdown kind of work. And then we see where we go. I guess there's a lot of reports on it. I think Samuel's been giving interviews to the press. And you know, there's a lot of analysis of what's gone wrong and what it has... For the details side, I think I'm going to leave it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
When it does settle, I probably will talk about it a little bit.
So what can you tell us, actually?
What can I tell you? We're busy selling furniture now. Like, thanks, Smitty, for tweeting the furniture
today. I've been looking at the furniture listings.
Yes. And then I guess I'm thinking about my next steps. My co-founder is thinking about the next steps. We'll do a little bit of post-mortem about what didn't work out. And it seems that there are a lot of emails now going along from people. Actually, thanks to sort of like, you know, what's the next thing you're working on, which I still don't have an idea at the moment. So... yeah, but I'll be spending some time to sort of rest and recover first. And meanwhile, I can have Smith get the bandwidth of talking about Spool on the show.
You've handed the crown to me.
No, you got a crown. Yeah, you may get it further than where I could go, actually, I think.
But there's no comparisons. But I think the one thing that like is interesting that, you know, and I think it's kind of cool if you guys keep talking about things over the next couple of months. Because, you know, a lot of times all that's ever talked about is when people make it or people get funded. And I'm not trying to say it's that you're the example, but you know, we all know you've been through this, like failure and trying to build things is all like part of the cycle. And it's one of the ones that like the local scene, people don't talk about it much, or they pretend that there's a stigma associated with it. And I think it's big of you guys to kind of stay out there and, you know, just be super honest about it, because this is reality, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the part of reality that we have to deal with. I guess just as you want to share successes, you also should learn to share your own failures as well.
And, but that's like a huge learning experience, right?
Yeah. So I heard that PhilCon may be coming to Southeast Asia. So there seems to be a lot of talk about it. So probably there's going to be a lot more sharing of... And actually, just to let you know, I think ever since our story broke, a couple of other sort of startups that didn't sort of make the mark have also stepped out. And I think they actually there will be some interviews that will be coming up. Really? And I think that will actually be good lessons to talk about. Yeah.
So
there's been quite a few things in Indonesia have shut down, but they've been quiet about it.
Yeah, but I think in Singapore, there are a couple of them. So we can actually managed to... I think SGE... they started contacting. I think even maybe other tech blogs are also doing the same too. And you know, they just contacted them, and maybe we can hear more lessons on that. It may help actually.
So it was it's so interesting. I mean, we do know a lot of the startups that are open and closed, and I mean personally, we know a lot of the, few of the startups that have shut down and etc. But it was so interesting that Chalkboard is also leading the charge of it. Like, even after closing, you guys are like leading the trend.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't think it's actually leading the trend that much. I think it's important that if we're going to claim that we're going to become like the next tech hub, we should actually sort of allow these things to happen.
No, yeah, which is actually important that, you know, that...
Yeah. But whether we lead it is not important. So what I'm saying here is that I think... It's good that we all started talking a little bit about it, and we sort of want to tell everybody that entrepreneurship is a hard job. It's not an easy job, right? You have to learn to sort of be able to do, you know, the success part, you know, all the fame and glory. You also need to learn, you know, sometimes things don't work out. How do you deal with that? And I'm kind of a little bit philosophical about this, but it will take some time to, we want to sink into more of like the Southeast Asia culture where failure is not tolerated. And maybe this will actually help.
I guess that's what I was trying to say. I mean, in terms of that, because of what you guys have been doing, there are more people coming out and say like, hey, you know, look, this may be just a temporary hiccup and there may be something on the line, but we just want to share our learning experience, what we learned throughout there. And that is a move. I mean, if we were very cynical about the whole Southeast Asia, the Asia startup ecosystem, and I think this is a move towards the right direction.
I think that's part of it, and I'm actually glad that people have been sending very encouraging notes on that. I guess, well, I sort of want to move the conversation a bit further now. We just saw some new startups that's being launched over the week last Friday. So I guess I didn't see you at the JFDI demo day because I left a little bit early. I think, Smitty, you left before me, right?
Yeah, we got to get that app out the door day. So unfortunately, I just didn't have the time. So I was there early, got a seat and hung out and got some work done, and then stayed till about 12.
Yeah, I missed both of you guys during the event because TWIA and Entrepreneurs Time Y, which resides on the same server, got DDoS. So we I had to do some stuff.
So how many enemies have you gotten? So just that they plan a DDoS on us.
I do not know. I mean, this is probably a lone incident. I mean, just to clarify, there's about 20,000 hits per second. For it's not really a huge one, but it was big enough to just cripple our site for a while. So I was up late, and I drove down to Singapore. I came down late. I managed to talk to the startups after the event, but I want to get your opinion. What do you think about the whole event in general first?
So, wait, I can start first, Smitty?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
11 companies. I guess was very interesting to see that ShopSpot, there was a sort of a mobile app that does something like, you know, mobile eBay. And that they really raised funding. And also Kark, that was an Indonesia startup, which the founders actually have a very good track record of building games for Telkomsel, also have received funding from IdeoSource. So they actually put up the two strongest startups that have raised funding first. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently, they just go through all the other stars, which are just as impressive. And I guess the presentation pitch quality has actually gone up. There is actually Trade Gecko, Fetch Plus, Flocations, Travelers, Tribe Tired, Stubbed, Wowby, which I like the UI very much. So the total of 11 startups, I think did I miss a Flocations as well? Yeah. So yeah, sure. All these startups have actually sort of managed to either they pivot in one way, half of it, and I think they actually have very, very interesting things to do. Like, for example, remember Grateful? They pivoted to something called Remember, for example. So, So I don't know. What's your opinion on the startups? I mean, the pitch.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, for sure, everything has evolved, like, in very positive ways, right? I can remember some of these people. You know, I didn't get to be the mentor I'd planned to, because when I signed up for this, I was at Yahoo and had time and the energy to focus on this because Yahoo was getting involved. And then, you know, I left Yahoo and I didn't have the time. So I didn't get to see a lot of the in-betweens, and it's unfortunate. But I did notice just the vast difference from when it started to the event. I mean, hats off to the whole JFDI crew for just putting on a super polished, well-organized event. And that makes a huge difference. And I think just the whole lighting and rehearsals and everybody wearing shirts, just, you know, you think it's a little thing, but when it all gets rolled up together, it's just very positive and just comes across as being very organized. So I think a lot of things that needed to pivoted. I think, you know, I still think any of the ones that are related to, like, Remember and a few of these things have a really hard time, I think, kind of equating value and revenue opportunity. I think, you know, you look at something as big as Path is, you know, that's a global product, is going to struggle with this, even though they're getting funded because of who's starting them. But if you look at one of these pieces that's something like a niche social network that's only in a region, you know, I've been through the Copal thing. I know what these things look like. Mm. I think those things are really hard to make money. I think they're beautiful. They're pretty apps, but I think they're going to have a hard time making cash. I think the gaming ones, a couple of them look good, but, you know, I'm kind of in the category that gaming is like luck. Like, you either hit it or you don't. And, you know, we'll see how those go. But I think Flocations still has a good shot of becoming something. I think the shop Spot thing is very cool. Mm. There was another travel one that I thought was interesting. Trade Gecko looks, you know, it looks very complicated, and it's going to be hard because you have to sell that stuff. But I think they could potentially find a market. You know, and that thing's changed a lot since I saw one of its earlier presentations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, overall, like, I was super impressed with the event. I wish I could have just stayed all day and hung out and talked to people and learned some more. It was a great networking event. They, you know, a lot of the right people were there to talk to. I even talked to a few VC people over the weekend for some other meetings, and you know, a couple of them had comment on what they thought was interesting and what they got to do. I think some of these guys would be really interesting if they just try to put something together and flip it quick versus the ones that are going to try to create a long-term market, right? And the differences that's going to be, you know, entail. I think it's going to be kind of fun to watch it and hopefully keep tabs on it. But out of all of them, I give about three to four of them the chance of being something substantial, right? Mm. That's just what my gut tells me from looking around the region. But, you know, I could be proven way wrong.
Do you think that all of them will get funding, or maybe just 5 out of 10?
I think there's going to be a lot of them will get funding.
Get thrown. Yeah, I think the sheer, like, professionalism of the event, the kind of aura of Ming and Hugh, and the fact that there's still a lot of money sloshing around. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, 80, 90% of them get some sort of money.
Okay.
But I don't know if, you know, and I both know that doesn't mean they make it, right? So, but I think a lot of them will get money. I just feel like there's a positive vibe associated with making this whole thing keep going and the ecosystem that I just wouldn't be surprised. And I, you know, that's my gut. You know, whether we'll all get announced in the next month or two, we'll see. I would imagine all of them need some money to keep going, right?
Right. I think it would be... the other question I thought maybe we should ask you, hypothetically, do you think that all should have gone on to pitch in, like, Echelon, for example? I mean, the quality is so good, right? I mean, we haven't seen that in the last 2 years anyway.
Yeah, but I think that's just a factor of, like, time and energy and being worked on to pitch better and all that. So, you know, it's taken how many days to do this, right? Like,
well, it's 100 days.
100 days, right? And a lot of other events or things you see happening don't get that level of work on them over a sustained period of time, right? So I don't think that it can't be done by other people. Just this is one of the first end-to-end examples where we see it all coming together, right?
Yeah. But I mean, wouldn't it be good because I'm using this as sort of the benchmark now to force everybody. You know, every year, wouldn't you just get one good pitch out of 10 pitches? But now you have 10 good pitches. It makes it very hard for you to decide, you know?
Yeah, it makes it tough. And I think that it makes it tough with the notion that, you know, that there's a lot of activity, but you want quality. And this was a good example of a beginning of a lot of activity balanced with being honed into being some really good quality. So yeah, you would hope more of this kind of stuff happens, right? That's my take on the matter.
So how about Daniel? You've been there, you've seen all the companies. How do you find it now?
I missed the pitch, but I'm really impressed with ShopSpot. I always got the name wrong. And I'm also quite wary about Flocation. I mean, I've been seeing Flocation since day one and since Startup Weekend, in fact. So I like the idea, but I do not know whether the market is big enough for them to actually be there. I'm very...
How about you?
But there's a lot of opportunity in travel, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity, which is like... using that as basically a bait and try to upsell to other stuff. But it's also a site that probably I would not use because I usually know where I want to go.
Mm.
Yeah, but, I think, and this is what I think is what I would wonder is interesting. I actually talked to somebody in the VC community about this Sunday morning, and I would think something like Locations, like this is what would be interesting to me, is if someone like WeGo doesn't come in and say, hey, we're not paying you a lot of money for this, but we think this is interesting, but you and I both know scaling it's hard.
Yeah.
You need your own inventory to tie this to. You're never going to make enough money by being a referral-only system. So you know what, Flocations, you guys, you know, we're aqua hiring, or whatever you want to call the term you use. We're going to take this thing really early and use it as a feature. And I would say the same thing applies to ShopSpot. For ShopSpot to run a long-term business model, it's going to take a couple years. They can't only be in a couple countries, but I could see someone like a Multiply saying, you know what, we have a shitty mobile experience and we don't really know how to do apps well. Boom, right? Like, that's what I would think would be interesting for the ecosystem to really like be like, let's tactically solve problems of the other local startups now, right? And I'm sure what these guys are all going to do is hold out for doing their own thing. And that's where I wonder if the industry will mature around this to say, let's just surgically take some of these guys out early so that the businesses that are already on the periphery in the industry, in the region, get to another level. And that's actually what one of the funding guys was curious if it would happen or not, right? So I'm not saying that's a solution, but I think it's interesting, right?
Yeah, you can have Evernote acquiring something like Remember. You think about it, right? It's very similar in the same space. You're trying to keep the content data. You can do something like, I was thinking eBay might want to acquire something like ShopSpot because they are also struggling in the mobile space as well on that.
Yeah, I really agree in terms of that. It's just that, and I really believe that they probably. It really depends on the entrepreneurs themselves and how would the next stage of funding come in. Would they want to exit or something like that? A few of them I talked to, I get the impression that they want to go in for the long haul. But whether you know they are willing to go and come in short in terms of getting acquired by, for example, Flocation acquired by WeGo or something like that. That may be an issue in terms of from the entrepreneur side, but I do believe definitely 90% of or at least 100% of them will get funding because the NRF incubators are hungry. They are looking for deals to actually fund.
Yeah, because I just still think, and Bernard, you and I have talked about this before, that like you got a lot of activity stoking the flames. You don't have a very good Series A community. You don't have a lot of exits. That sometimes I think we're waiting around for the big bang when I think what we need is incremental wins to keep moving. And I just wonder if this isn't a model where these things that come out of the incubator, not saying they shouldn't get funding or not not saying that a few of them don't have a shot of the crown or some regional thing, but you and I both know, hand any one of those guys a few million dollars isn't going to necessarily be successful, because they need to build marketplaces and customer acquisition and where you already have some regional companies doing that, that might be able to use a few of these guys' surgical strike to take their businesses to the next level. And I've heard a few people actually interested in a few of these guys on those merits.
Yeah.
The question is, will those guys actually go for that, or will they say, oh no, we kind of want to hold out to be our own startup? That's actually what I'm wondering if it will happen, right? I mean,
yeah, I agree with you on that. Totally 100%, because I think small wins will help to sort of make the space much more vibrant. And actually, you're also able to sort of get new ideas, new things happening much at a faster
rate. Just a question. I mean, in what quantum do you think these small wins will be?
Like, if you get an acquisition of at least one or two of the companies, maybe around 6-digit to 7-digits kind of acquisition. Because I mean, it's not that they can't do it. It's just that the depending on how big the size of the regional companies is, if they are $100 million companies, they can acquire for a mil plus plus. But if they are not within that, about 50 mil, maybe 30 to 50 mil type of company, probably to a 6-digit plus. I mean, I'm not saying that they should sell out, but I'm just sort of saying that the more exits you have, the better it feels.
It's better for the people involved in them on all levels, right?
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think it takes 7-digits for some of these things, right? I mean, some of these guys, there's like barely any money other than the incubator stage in, right? And so I'm not saying it's the answer. I just think it could be interesting if it turns into some of that activity as a way of kind of keeping the vibrancy alive that these incubators have created, things that the regional guys actually want pretty quick, right?
Yep.
So it's, you know, I don't know if any of them will have that conversation. I know a few of them have been thought of in that regard from a few other companies, but I don't know if people are open to that, because, you know, you've been through this, you're an entrepreneur, and you're like, hey, if I can get the money, I can keep going, and I can get the stage two, and that's more fun. I want a chance to build something. And I would never take that feeling away from people. I totally get that. But is that necessarily the smartest thing to do in an ecosystem where not many big companies are going to come in here, if everybody keeps thinking that's what's going to happen, and buy these Singapore startups at these crazy multiples? And we have very few examples of that happening today, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to go from where we are today to that anyway, right? We're going to go to something in between, right? Which is some nominal successes that create some exits and some experiences, both in the people buying and the people getting bought who've never been through this before.
Right? Mm-hmm. I guess I was quite interested in Kark, you know, that mobile game education thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because the founders obviously have a good track record, and they actually got Indonesia investors, but I don't know whether the Indonesia market, I mean, were that sheer size of that market able to help them to scale up much larger, or were they halfway through, you know, get bought out maybe by one of those few conglomerates there? Yeah. Smitty, what's your sense of it, since they're, you know, the Indonesia market definitely better?
Yeah. So I think the gaming place is always a scary place to be. And that's because of just how I feel about it when it goes. I think they have some interesting stuff. I think because it's slightly tilted towards education and things like that, you actually have the ability to charge more than things that are just a pure game. But the whole gaming, I mean, just look at Draw Something and look at the way I just think it's like opening a restaurant. You might get really lucky and you're the in restaurant and it might last for a few years, or no matter what you do, you just get this sucky vibe and no one wants to eat at your joint, no matter how hard you work, right?
Yeah.
So the game world and the restaurant world being really similar to me, and I've been in one of them and not the other. So
I've been in the restaurant world. It's not easy, actually.
Yeah. It's not. That's what I'm saying. And I think, you know, there's a tremendous amount of luck, unfortunately, that happens when a place is doing really well or not doing really well, right? And I think the gaming world is like that. And I don't think this thing where just because it's in Indonesia, it's going to have more leg room than other places, I don't really buy, because monetization's hard in Indonesia, competition's hard. So I was mildly intrigued by their idea, but they have a lot to do to make that whole card thing work, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree that, and the fact that if you want to look at the company OMG Pop, it took them 6-7 years to actually get one hit, which is draw something. And Zynga got lucky early on with not even lucky early on. I mean, they got lucky early on, and their valuation is quite huge. So
yeah, and that's where like will a guy like that be able to get the funds they need to create their marketplace over the next 2 to 3 years? You know, so far we haven't seen that in the region where someone continues to get the investment they need to keep going. Where, you know, maybe this is interesting if Match Move Games wants to get into educational and they go and pick these guys up as an example, right? Like I said, I don't know if any of that activity is going to happen, but I think it actually might be more interesting to the region than people just getting funded and kind of logging it away. Right?
Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised by it, just to sort of add a sidetrack to it, is that Draw Something has just lost 5 million active users just a couple of days. They saw it at the right time, I guess.
But don't you think that, having played the game, don't you guys just think that's just because it's pretty freaking boring after a couple of weeks? So no matter who bought it or what they did with it, I guess is if they hadn't sold it, they would have saw that same drop and then no one would have bought them. But I just feel like you run out of words and it gets a little monotonous, right?
They were hoping. But have you guys, sorry, just as a segue, have you played Drawception before?
Oh, actually,
Drawception. Nope. I want to introduce you guys to this game, but I will talk offline.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of avoiding myself from games lately, so there's no games on my iPhone now.
Yeah, I find them just such a time sink, and I know people say, well, I do stuff to have fun, that I just don't have the time to deal with it. It's kind of funny.
I definitely agree with you. Even for me now, I was like thinking, you know, I better sort of swan off games and spend some time learning something. Yeah.
I'm going to do iPhone development with Groovy Motion.
Before we move on to the next story, is there any of the startups that you were kind of disappointed or something like that?
Actually, you have any?
I have, actually.
I wasn't there the whole time. I was definitely not disappointed with pretty much anybody's presentation or what they came across and what they explained. I'm sure there's a couple of them that just weren't amazing, right?
Mm.
But which ones are you talking about, Daniel?
FanFetch, actually.
Fetch Plus, is it? The Facebook page for builders.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about that?
No, I'm not really disappointed about the pitch per se, because I didn't see the pitch, so I don't really know the thing. But from what I can see, I mean, the startup has been around for 2 years and so on, and they have, even throughout these 100 days, I don't think they actually have evolved or pivoted much. So,
I think that's an interesting thing of, like, you kind of wonder why that's in the program, right?
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't obviously make a big difference in 100 days other than what I understood is they worked on kind of their organizational structure and their pitching and all that. But, you know, that product wasn't going to change in 100 days because it was a couple years in the making, right? I wondered that myself. Now, the interesting thing, though, is from the brand marketing and a few of the agency, big company people were in the room, they were actually very interested in that product. Because if you look at some of the competing products like Buddy Media and a few even more mature things that do more things, the price points are quite expensive, right?
Yeah.
So this was actually like espousing something that is affordable by fairly decent range of people, and it kind of does what it does well, right? Mm. So I think I was more interested as to why was that in the program, right?
Right.
Yeah, same here.
I wasn't disappointed in any of the companies. I'm sort of more like...
What was the other one?
I wasn't disappointed in any of the pitches. I sort of thought that some of them may have companies that overlap, like, for example, Travelers and Flocations, but I think they can merge into becoming a bigger entity because they kind of serve two verticals, but the two verticals can be merged into one.
But they're very intertwined, right? You could say, I have these group of people, and we not only need to track it, but we need to, like, get the best deal for where we want to go, right? I thought that myself, that maybe, like, during the whole incubation stage, you would get those guys in a room and say, hey, you guys all have different capabilities, but together you would make a pretty, like, okay, become one product.
Yeah,
I know that's hard to do, but I actually thought about that, right?
I thought about that too as well, but I guess we have to let nature take its course as well.
Well, who knows? I mean, they might merge further down the line if looking at that, whoever has more traction or whoever they don't have traction or something like that.
It's definitely possible, right?
Yeah, I thought the best story of the day was Trap Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually from KL, right?
Yeah.
The company. I thought they got the biggest customer of them all, which almost segue to the next story, actually.
Sorry, just before you move on to the next segue, what do you like about Trap Hyatt?
I thought they got the biggest customers in town who's willing to pay for jobs now at the moment. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Essentially, they're solving a market that they're trying to come up with a solution where there's always market demand.
But I think they got something like maybe 1,000 jobs from one company. I think that's actually a good idea. And the companies, you know who? I think Smitty, you saw the pitch, right?
I didn't see that one, I think.
Oh, you left before that?
Yeah, actually.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Okay, so they went up telling everybody that we got a big deal from Rocket Internet, basically.
Okay.
It's like 1,000 of jobs or whatever.
Because those guys see that.
I actually know something behind, but I shouldn't say it on air, but off air. Yeah. No, but they're actually trying to solve a good issue. I know those guys. I think. They are doing something trying to play something interesting in this space. And go ahead.
Yeah. I think, like, on that, they are doing interesting stuff. And the thing that I'm questioning is, do people realize how Rocket's getting this amount of people so quick who know what they're doing?
Yep.
They're paying just basically, like, way, way above market rate. Or anything that anybody's making so that they can just get people immediately. So I know of specifically in Indonesia of them paying like anywhere from 50 to 100% over what the person was making in just their last job just to get them to take the position.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I just wonder like how sustainable this is going to be because they're going to price themselves into an area that the development's not going to be cheap because of what they're paying. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how this affects the region because it's a very real kind of phenomenon all of a sudden. Those guys are just paying top dollar, right?
But here's the thing, you see. If they don't start paying top dollars, don't you find that it's going to be bad for the scene as well? Because
it's okay to pay top dollar, but market value.
I want to argue this because you know what's the problem with a lot of VCs here? Like let's say you raise some money with the VC and then they want to pay you like half the price that you're actually allowed to do, that you're allowed to afford. Like let's say you're supposed to be earning 10K, but you're earning like 5K and then they say, oh, because you have equity. But that's not true, you know. Every CEO or every whatever, they have families, they feed, you know, kind of things. So if you even look at like Silicon Valley, like the minimum the everybody agrees like 150K for CEO, which is considered reasonable. But in this part of the world, everybody wants to pay cheap. And I think maybe Rocket Internet, what it does is that it pushes the salaries up, and it actually helps to give people a sense that hey, startups are not meant to be cheap either. You really can pay the right dollar for the right guy.
Okay, it's okay. You can push the salary up as long as you have the finance. I mean, you have the income to back it. You're not Rocket Internet has. I do not know what's their war chest actually. But if you are looking at a company that doesn't generate any revenue or has very low revenue and there's very little funding, I do not think that the pay is justifiable.
Yeah, but they're using a blizzarding strategy, right? They are trying to
scale for them, it works. Basically. For them, it works. I'm just talking about
For them, it works. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with people that don't end up working out of these places and probably won't get paid what they were making there other places. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad or right. I just think it's interesting that you know that's about the only way they can scale fast. And we're not talking small raises. We're talking like doubling people's salaries.
Yeah,
and I don't necessarily think people are being paid 50% less than their work when you look around the region, right? That seems a little out of whack to me, right? Like, what are you comparing it to? Silicon Valley or other places? I mean, you know, unfortunately, Singapore is a mess because this place is so overinflated that it's wacky, right?
But it's overinflated and it's only some sector of it. If you look at a startup on the whole, even as of today, is actually very low. I mean, the average market rate for a startup in Singapore is actually very, very low. I mean, everybody's being paid peanuts. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that is because there's not enough funding to go around. They can't afford. If for example, I'll take a $10,000 salary and that will last me. Let's say me and my founders, like, we take like $10,000, $8,000-ish. How long can the $150,000? How long can the $250,000 last?
Yeah, but you're trying to build a company as fast as you can. Of course, you're paying top dollar for top talent, right? I mean, if you say you want to hire somebody from Microsoft, who can help you to scale up? Maybe somebody from Google, Facebook, or Yahoo, for example. Mm-hmm. Suppose you want to hire Smitty, for example, who's, you know, maybe very important to the growth of the startup. You can't price it high enough to entice him to take the opportunity. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, and the other thing is also equity partnership is also the other thing. If this guy say, I mean, it must be a free market where the person is a willing buyer and is a willing seller. For example, if Smitty is willing to go, sorry, Smitty, I'm using your name.
Yeah, sorry, we are just using.
Okay, let's say I'm a quiet example
for the Asian podcast. I understand.
Let's say, for example, I'm going for $20,000 per month, okay? And I'm asked to take a pay cut, but I have in exchange for equity for the amount of vesting period of time. If I think that's a fair deal and I'm willing to take it, fine, fair enough. That is the thing. You know, there's actually a lot of things that it doesn't mean it's only money, but that is. I understand where Smitty is coming from, and I really agree that that's probably one of the ways that Rocket Internet can scale really fast. But in terms of being an entrepreneur, you need to be creative to actually acquire talent.
Yep. I think that, you know, if Rocket Internet is not sustainable, then, you know, when the bubble bursts, then you have these tons of 2,000 people that you can actually hire at good cost.
And they are basically incubator. They can move the talent around. And for example, Foodpanda is doing well, and Zalora is not doing well, so they will move the talent around. So they have the ability to do that.
Correct. Which is what I'm trying to say, that even on the whole itself, what they're trying to do, they may be like plowing tons of resources to it. It helps to build up the entire standard. You build up this like 2,000, you know, even sales guy with good execution capability. They're basically doing the work for every one of us. They're just doing like training for them, for us, for free.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, if they train the talent, there's talent, and let's see how the games go. You don't want to come up with a situation where, like, over in Silicon Valley, every top talent wants to go work for Facebook because of this.
But there aren't enough jobs in Facebook and Google here as compared to, say, in the US, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, what's going to happen is that, you see, you have to view the Rocket Internet as a necessary evil. And once you think of them as a necessary evil, then it actually helps to lift up the entire standards of the entire startup industry as a whole.
I do think they are the necessary evil, and I do believe what they're doing is correct. I'm just saying, as an entrepreneur, if you want to find a way to go and get top talent, paying is not the only option.
But you know something? Rocket Internet, from what I understand, they don't give equity to anybody.
No.
It's still the three brothers owning it. So they have to pay the top dollar.
Yeah, so
To substitute for the amount of equity that they are not giving to all their staff.
Which is good. I mean, it's a free market. People are willing to accept it. Go ahead.
Yeah, right? So it's me. We totally, you know, hijacked the band with West Media.
No, I think it's going to be interesting, right? Like, it'll be, you know, no one's really seen this kind of behavior before, and it's what you do when you want to get bodies and money's no option. That's great. It's a free country, and people should take top dollar. I think what will be interesting is a few of these things not working, because they're not all going to be successful, right? And then the people that have been used to making that kind of money, you know, this idea that the startups all need to come up to match inflation, I don't quite get. You know, I take the risk of taking equity or freedom in lieu of pay, right? Like, if you want pay, then go for pay, right? But
yeah.
I think some of these people are going to roll out of either not so lucrative rocket positions, or what I've heard is the turnover is quite high even so far in their regional things, that when you roll out of, let's say you left wherever you did, which, by the way, you weren't fired, you just left. You took a Rocket Internet position to get 50, 60, 100% pay raise, it doesn't work out for you and you're back on the street.
Yeah.
You really think that person now is going to get that new level everywhere they go?
No, they're not.
They're not, right? And that's where I think is going to be interesting when some people see the long-term effect of that behavior, right? And it doesn't necessarily affect Rocket. I think it's going to affect the people that are doing these jobs. That's all I'm saying. And you won't, you know, we'll see. This is a conversation to have a year from now, right? But yeah, it's the first kind of behavior of this kind, really, right, in the region.
Well, you hear it first in this organization. So, yep. Shall we take a break?
Yep. I think we... Yeah. Okay.
You have one more point, right? Just go ahead.
No.
Okay, so let's take a break. Do you have any... I
think it's like we are way past the break time. Basically,
I know, but
yeah, it's been, we're running long-winded, so
yeah.
Never mind. Let's just go to.
Let's talk about Walkabout SG or something like that, and then we close.
Yeah, before that, I mean, do you have any audiobooks that you want to recommend?
Oh yes. You want to start the 3-2-1 back to whatever?
Yeah. So. No, but we can still continue on the show. Let's just do it like a tweet thing. And just, we have to thank our sponsor, audible.com.
Okay, you start the sponsor thing and first.
I'm already doing the sponsor thing. Dude, you, come on. It's like, so you can actually get your free audiobook at audibletrial.com/TWIA. And you guys, do you have any audible? I haven't been listening to audiobooks. I'm in the podcasting mode at the moment. So, is there anything that you guys been listening? Have you guys listened to Hunger Games or not?
Nope. I'm listening to Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh.
Oh, I had that before. That was really awesome. Is it narrated by Tony himself?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because Tony always sounds very boring, monotonous, but that book has... It's a really good book to actually...
But it's different when you read it by yourself. Like, you're reading your own book and then reading the things that you wrote it, that you believe in it. That's the sense I got when I was listening to that audible podcast. Just in case everybody do not know, Tony Hsieh is the CEO of Zappos. Yeah. And he talks about his entire story, how he managed to sort of went from very poor to very rich and then almost end up mortgaging... And throwing out all his assets just to make Zappos to go alive, and then how he created customer culture.
And funny thing about Tony Hsieh, in the book, in case you do not know, he is not the founder of Zappos. The founder of Zappos is actually this guy that actually has a.
He like bought his way into kind of running it, right?
Yeah, he bought his way in, and the story where he bought his way in was really funny because it all came down to one data point, according to him. Apparently, all the other guys came with similar ideas, but none of them actually got him to doing it. This guy came in and said that, well, you know what? Mail-delivered shoes is about a 5% of a $2 billion market. And that was how he got him started into it. So what eventually he did was that he actually went and checked the stats out and realized that it's true. And he almost lost his entire fortune over Zappos.
And he was still... how far are you in the book? I don't know. I want to spoil
it. Well, I've kind of finished the book pretty quickly because I usually listen to Audible when I'm on my way to train rides and etc. So I use that as sort of my way to sort of listening in Singapore. So I listen about like 10 minutes.
Okay. So
trip, etc.
So that should be our pick of the week. I think I should not spoil the whole book for everyone.
Yeah, we shouldn't spoil the whole book. So I thought maybe we should. Check it out. I think you sign up, you get 2 credits, right?
No, we get 1 credit. We are not tweet yet.
We're not tweet yet. Damn it. So you can have 1 credit. So I suggest that you get one of these really good startup books. And if you really liked it, I think you can sign on a subscription for us. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's TWIA.
It's audibletrial.com/TWIA. And if you are not happy with it, you can always cancel within 30 days. But... try it. This is a fantastic book. Really, really recommended by me. And Bernard and Smitty, you read the book before?
I have not at the moment. I actually have... It's not an audio book. I've been reading Reid Hoffman's thing on my...
Oh, The Startup of You.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then I actually wanted to read that Tony book because I've been curious about this whole thing he's doing in Las Vegas. It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
And he's using... a huge portion of his net worth to kind of save Vegas, right? But no, so I need to read some more books.
Okay.
I've been actually listening to a lot of podcasts. That's why I get hung up on them.
So. I've been reading Peter Thiel's notes, actually.
His teaching ones, right?
Yeah. Really good, actually. You know,
it's quite good, actually.
Just before we go, I sort of wanted to sort of say that if you are a first-timer, I don't think you would get a lot from reading his notes. I think you have to be probably a practitioner. Because you can see some insights that you probably wouldn't see before.
Well, it's like an undergraduate degree stuff, right?
Yeah. But it was sort of... No, it's actually for undergrads. But I think the undergrads who transcribe the notes, when they learn, it's like the first time learning about startups and whatever. I don't think they see some of the wisdom that he's talking about. But the way he thinks about valuation and the way he thinks about what does distribution and viral growth means? Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like a refreshing perspective from something that I had not seen in a way before. Yeah.
Okay.
So I highly recommend that, actually.
Have you also read the Steve Blank book? What is it?
Four Cases of Epiphany. Yes.
Not that.
Epiphany, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the other one, the new one. I can't remember what's that called.
Okay.
Never.
We should have a hot day on books we recommend.
I know. I actually met Steve in Stanford before, and not really impressed with that guy. But nice book though.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, so what else do we have for the week? I know Walkabout SG is happening.
You want to move to just a quick note on the green thing, and then we'll just go with the events.
Oh yes. Just because some rumors from the Japanese government saying that they will regulate online gaming, it got greed, lost about how many millions of value on the stock market? I think Circum was the one who broke it, right?
Yeah, I think it was 90 million or something like that.
Yeah, 96 million, sorry. Yep, from Circum, basically, for just that. So the story was because they actually thought that there was going to be a regulation.
Yeah.
Was quoted for that, I think, as well.
It's not so it's a 400 million in valuation.
Oh, serious? That bad?
Yeah. So basically, Kotaku reported on Social Game, Japanese youngest self-made billionaire lost 400 million today.
Oh my god, that's really sad.
Well, but it's not real money.
Well, you know, think about the shareholders.
Well, true, but it's I don't know. It's...
Okay, fine. We get back into this, and then we talk about at least what events are happening over the week. So, Smitty, is your startup going to be one of the walkabout places?
No, because one, I'm not in town, and two, we're kind of out where nobody else is. So, I don't see how anybody could really make the round. we're not in town, right?
So, are you going to be coming for the after party at Helipad?
Because no. I won't be. I'm not in town.
Oh yeah, you're back in. You're back in.
Pattaya.
Yeah,
I'm in Thailand, and
right.
I'm just kind of in focus mode. I know it's weird. I've kind of like. No, you know how that.
That sounds normal.
You were there.
Normal.
You were there for a good 6 months, if I remember.
More than that.
You just don't have time to do other things without like burning the candle above them, you know.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily fun. I mean, I think I missed some of the activities and stuff. So we're all going to the Ruby thing because we do Ruby stuff, and I want to stay in that mix. And of course, there'll be Echelon and some other things. But yeah, the walk thing the timing didn't hit, unfortunately. But it looks like an awesome event. I just hope it's very successful and it continues. But it appears to be getting quite enough people signing up, from what I can tell.
Yeah, there are 100 signups actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Walkabout.sg, if you check it out, it's organized by
Christine
Loria. Yeah. And she's been, actually, I think she's been really making the whole place really light up, actually.
She has been on TWI. Actually, we should get her on again after this.
Yeah.
She's doing a great job. And I just think it's fun that somebody's doing something a little different, and it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, bringing some San Francisco feel to Singapore, which is quite fun.
Yeah, I actually talked to her about doing one in KL, but we probably have to bus around KL instead of walk about. Because the startups are all over the place.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, we also have a Startup Asia in Jakarta coming up.
Yes, and that's organized by techinasia.com, formerly well known as Panelson.
Any of you going for that?
No. I'm not really doing any traveling that isn't in markets I need to worry about, unfortunately.
Right.
Budgets. Called budgets.
Mm-hmm. And what about the... Well, you're going to be a speaker on Echelon.
Yeah, don't remind me that I haven't really worked as to what I'm doing.
Yeah, but Mohan doesn't listen to this. Actually,
Do you have some offer for Echelon?
Show me.
Pardon?
Say it again? Do you have some offer code for Echelon?
Yeah, it's a TWIA, actually.
They just extended early bird a week or something, didn't they?
Yeah, until the 13th of May.
Yeah, yep. I'll put it on our site actually. There should be a link. There should be a link to Echelon.
Weekend is Startup Weekend in the Philippines as well.
Where in the Philippines?
Yep, Startup Manila. Weekend in the Philippines.
Oh no, yeah.
Cebu.
Yes. Sorry, yep. Manila was the 2 weeks ago. Yeah, and Gwen and Vinny, they are all going there, so
yeah,
we'll be actually glad to. I mean, I want to check out what's going on because the last time when Sir Khan was around, he mentioned that Startup Weekend was the biggest tech event in Philippines. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, anything new going on there.
They have a very interesting tech scene going on now, so I think it's probably going to be very interesting to see what's going to be up too.
Yeah, and next 16th of May, Vinny Laurel and Jeffrey Payne, they'll be up in KL for Technopreneur Open Day.
Oh, before I forget, Barcamp Singapore 8 happening this weekend.
Huh? What?
Yep.
Why does it all get announced like just moments before it happens?
I only got an email like last weekend, I think. So
I didn't even get any email.
I thought it was like they talked about they were gonna try to figure out when they were gonna have it soon. I didn't realize they announced they're having it this weekend.
Yeah, they have it on there. I thought I tweeted it twice, I think.
I didn't see it.
Okay. So I better tweet more then. Yep.
Damn,
it's going to be in Tembusu College, actually.
I wanted to go for that.
Yeah, so it's already there. So Barcamp Singapore 8, held on Saturday, May 12th, from 10 a.m. to 5:30 a.m. is in the Tembusu College, basically.
I'm going to miss that again. So I'm going to miss Walkabout SG. So,
damn. Well, can't you just get in your helicopter and fly over?
Daniel, as I've told you, why don't you move down to Singapore? It would be so much fun.
No, I haven't been to a bar camp for a while, so I just really want to go. Walkabout SG, I just wanted to figure out, but as you guys will know, work, so have to do what
we
have to do.
Yep, so shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, we should do that. Meng is not online. Actually, yep. He is. Let me ping. No, he's not answering, actually.
Okay. So, let me ask. So, where can we find you, Smitty, other than Spool? SPUUL.com.
You can just find me on Twitter. And, that's it for now. Mm. And on this podcast, of course.
Yeah. Dream Pipe.
And I'll be at the Red Ruby thing, and I'll be at Echelon.
Ah, okay, good. I probably will see you there then.
Good stuff.
Mm. How about you, Daniel?
Well, being me, being Cervantes, mostly on Twitter and beginning to be on Pinterest a bit more, but that's mostly just to test out traffic. Doesn't really work, basically.
Oh, you like Pinterest?
No, I don't. We did a rough. I'm trying to do some experiment about like generating traffic from Pinterest for TWIA and entrepreneurs. Then why the conversion is really low? You get a lot of pins, like you get a couple of hundred pins, but the traffic is just like measly sub 20 for 100 pins. That's the 10%.
I'm a big fan of Texturist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you've been retweeting about that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
the Twitter for Pinterest.
Okay.
It's a Twitter feed for Pinterest. You don't have to bother going to the site.
Right. Yes. Okay. That would be good.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can find, you can Google me at Bernard Leung. I'm pretty free these days. You probably can email me. But if you want to subscribe to our feed at This Week in Asia, you just come to thisweekinasia.net or sort of drop us a like and love in facebook.com/TWIA with our tweet, This Week in Asia, sorry. And our Twitter handle is This Week in Asia. So we look forward to seeing you next week. Well, guys, we'll catch up next week then.
Later.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.